Blog Talk Radio.
I pray to you, God, whom I call Allah, that you connect our hearts as one and grant us like-mindedness to be able to move forward in a manner that will unify us on one accord, to honor our ancestors, respect our elders, and properly educate our children, strengthen our families, and rebuild our community.
Welcome family. All right, it's another Wednesday. I'd like to thank everyone who took the time out of their busy day and decided to spend it with us. And I look forward to everyone who listening, who has something to add to the conversation, participating. More so, that, you know, the sisters. We really want the sisters and the brothers to be able to communicate. You know, we want to understand the mindset of each other besides in a manner of courtship. I think we do, the only time we really communicate is when we're doing courtship, you know. So I would like for us to be able to, you know, communicate in a manner where we can open up dialogue about any and every discussion. Because in order for us to be able to change our condition, as I said on other occasions, is that the man and the woman are going to have to be able to meet on a level playing field and be able to push forward to change our conditions. The man can't do it alone and the woman can't do it alone. We need each other. And regardless to some of the conversations you hear about, you know, women and their issues, we as men have issues too. We all have issues. The job is and the goal is to help each other work through those issues. That's what we're looking to do on the show. We're looking to be able to come up with viable solutions to our problems and our issues, to be able to move forward in a manner that will bring us up to the level that we're capable of being. Sure, we've had plenty of obstacles, and we still have plenty of obstacles. However, as one of our callers say, you know, we're not victims. However, on the other hand, we have been victimized, and it's still happening. And to some degree, we are victimizing ourselves. Today, I want to talk about incarceration and how incarceration affects our communities and affect our neighborhoods. You know, my perspective about incarceration is that when it comes to us, the sentencing is more harsher than it is for our white counterparts in most situations, which leaves us at a disadvantage many times, and we're already starting off with a disadvantage. I wanted, you know, give you an example of how the disparities of incarceration was detrimental to our community. Okay, let's talk about opioids versus crack. Now, I don't know, you know, the age of everyone that's listening, but during the crack era, it became a war on drugs, which led to an increased amount of individuals being incarcerated for long periods of time. 5, 10, 15 years, which ultimately affected our neighborhoods and our communities. You got to think, if you had a child that was 5 years old when you were incarcerated behind crack dealing, and you had to do 10 years, by the time you came home, that child was 15 years old. So that's a lot of time. Even if you came home in 5 years and the child was a newborn, the child was 5 years old, now you missed all of those years where it's the mental growth and the bonding with the child as a baby, to watching the child walk, to watching the child talk, to watching the child, you know, first day of school. Now, I'm saying this because this is happening to us more times than not. And I feel, I believe that to some degree, we victimize each other in a manner of criminalizing each other. We don't know an individual situation most times. We don't know what make an individual do what they do, whether it's snatch a pocketbook, rob a bank, or sell drugs. We don't know what causes that person to do that. All we know is they're in our community, and to some degree, they affect in our community. Now, we frown at them. We don't. A lot of times, many of us who work every day the 9 to 5s, we have something negative to say about the individual. Oh, you can get it. They should get a job. This, that, and the other. But did you ever try talking to the individual and find out why they don't have a job? Because once you get incarcerated and you catch a felony, and you can catch a felony before you even do time, now your job prospects become very bleak and limited. Now it's almost is, well, I don't even want to say almost. To some degree, I believe it's designed in that manner where you give a brother or sister a felony, and now their job prospects are limited. And, you know, everybody don't have the tenacity to overcome obstacles. Some people fall to the wayside very easily. That's why I believe we need each other. When I say each other, I mean men and women, the children as well. We need each other. We need to be able to count on one another. We shouldn't feel like because a person decides to sell drugs that they're no longer a part of who we are. Because whether we believe it or not, somebody loves those individuals. And I think we are being too harsh when we criminalize them, because American society is already doing that. So all we doing is helping them along by basically turning our backs on them, and by us being, what I like to say, dealing with individuality, where we thinking about self. Long as I'm okay and I got my money and you know, my family and my children good, that ask everybody else. We see what's going on around us. We see the people who are more productive, who we're predominantly giving our money to, actually think like we think when it comes to that. They're being inclusive. They're thinking that, look, let's do this as a family, as a community, and as a people. That is the goal for us. Sure, we know that we have a few handicaps, but we've overcame handicaps before. So what is stopping us now from unifying and changing the dynamics of allowing the same people that teach us, the same people that we turn to protect us, that we count on to protect us, and the same people who judge us and the same people who convict us, why are we looking for those same people to help us? You know, when you look at it, we're being dragged down a pipeline, a lot of us, down a pipeline of making money for other people. And it's gotten to a point where we're making money and giving our money to everyone and every other nationality except our own, which to me is a travesty. And grant you, I love all people. I am in heart a humanitarian. However, when Jesus came, who did Jesus come to? Jesus came to the people who were more in need. He didn't go to the people who were well. He went to the people who were sick. And right now, we are the sick people. Now let's get back to what I was saying as far as opioids and the crack. Okay, now that we have the opioids, what is the condition now? It's a disease. It needs to be treated. Whereas crack, which was predominantly being used and sold by us, black people, whatever other name you want to call us, we were the one who was indulging in the crack more so than anyone else. Now, when you look at the opioids, who are indulging in the opioids more? Is it us or is it our white counterparts? And anybody who has something to say at this point, you're welcome. You can chime in anytime. You know how we do. We look forward to conversations and add-ons and building, you know, a picture where we all can understand and we all can see what's actually going on around us. However, as I was saying, the truth is, now with the opioids, they're getting treatment. So they're not locking individuals up and creating mass incarceration for sickness. I mean, I've done work as a drug and alcohol counselor. So whether it's crack, cocaine, alcohol, it's all considered a sickness. So what was the difference between the crack smokers and the heroin shooters or the pill takers? What was the difference? It was still substance abuse. It's a substance that's being abused that has became unmanageable. And now your life is out of control. That's the definition of an addict. You're using something too often to where it has taken total control over you and your life, where every waking hour or a minute, you're chasing this particular drug or this particular high. And grant you, it isn't always drugs. Some people have gambling problems. Some people have to gamble all the time. Some people have sex addictions. There's many type of addictions. However, the one that caused the most damage, and not only did the crack damage us with the mass incarceration, the crack damaged us with a great deal of women selling their bodies, allowing their children to see them in compromising positions, which created trauma for the children that some of them still carry to today. So I'm saying that we, as a people, have an obligation to each other to be better towards each other and reach out to each other. Reach out to each other. Look, I just want to say hi. I just called to see how you're doing today. I just want to tell you I love you. We have the power to change our conditions. We also have the means to change our conditions. We just all need the desire and the motivation and the faith that we can do it, that we can change our conditions. I come on this show every week, not because I have to, because there's a need. There's a need for us as a people to have our minds renewed. To renew our minds, to open up our hearts and resurrect our souls. Many of us walking around here soulless. We are empty inside. So we are looking for things outside of us to validate who we are. This is what's happening to us as a people. Sure, there are some of us who are doing great. There's a lot of us who are doing super great. However, the majority of us are lost. And my belief is, as long as someone lost, none of us can be completely free. None of us can say we're completely found, because there's too many of us lost. The reality is, if you get to a certain level in life, now you either have a choice to strive to enlighten more people around you so that they can come up to that level, or you move out. And, you know, be around other people who you probably don't even, you know, you're still by yourself, basically, except your family, you know, except some of your immediate family that lives with you. Because even if you move out to a different location, what about the rest of your family members? You're not opening the door for them to move where you're moving at. So I'm saying, and I'm urging, and I'm pleading, we start enlightening each other and showing love towards each other and understanding, compassion, consideration. All of these things are necessary. And most of all, forgiveness. We need to be able to forgive each other. We forgive other people who have done worse things to us than we have done to each other, but we'll forgive them. Why is that? I believe because we are starting off from 5 years old, sometimes younger, being subconsciously manipulated to believe that the only one can save us doesn't look like us. When you think about it, you go to school, the teachers are predominantly what? Need I say it, or do everybody already know? You come home and you're being patrolled, and you're being patrolled by predominantly who? You watch TV shows, you go into supermarkets, predominantly being ran by your first interaction or your first vision of a supreme being whom many who are Christians call on the name of, the faces of who? And you cannot honestly tell me that these things are not done deliberately to establish a mindset that what we're striving to do on this show, to undo and to refine the mindset of you being less than your white counterpart. The whole white supremacy movement was based upon blacks being inferior to whites. And if who Hello? Do I have a caller? As I was saying, if someone has something to add?
Or they got disconnected, they might call back.
Okay, they got disconnected. Yeah. As I was saying, that to give you a savior and say, this is your savior, this is the person who died for you, this is the person who will redeem you and give you a face of the people who supposedly kept us captives for 400 years or more, and say, look, this is the one that's going to save you. This is the one you pray to. When you really look at it, outside the box, take all your emotions away and look at it logically. Who do that benefit to be praying and asking and believing in an image? Grant you, the Bible, that the image don't even coincide with the Bible's image. But yet, hello? But yet, we cling and worship this image subconsciously. Subconsciously. I personally would feel better and think it would be more advantageous to us to, for those of us who are Christians, to say, you know, Black Jesus or the original Jesus, because that Jesus that's on that picture, that Jesus don't coincide with the Jesus in the Bible. And I think it's more devastating than helpful to us to subconsciously worship the one who oppresses us. I think it doesn't do us as a people any good. And grant you, as I said, I am not against Christianity. I read the Bible myself as a Muslim. And as a Muslim, we are taught to believe in that which was sent to you and that which was sent before you, which is the gospel, the Bible, and the Torah, you know, the old and new version. And when I read it, I don't see it saying blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus as your Savior. I don't see that. So I think any church, Black church, any people who attend a church, if you go to a church, it's better if they don't have no Jesus up there. And then many people say, oh, the picture doesn't matter. The picture doesn't matter. Well, if the picture doesn't matter, then why did they push that picture on you? Because obviously the picture matters. Because they didn't push a picture that looked like you, and they go to bed praying to him and asking him for forgiveness, and he looks like you and I. They didn't choose that image. So it's obviously it means something. So I'm saying this, and it all connects to a system. A system that is designed to separate us from each other and separate everyone else from us. We can't make other people decide they want to be around us if we don't even want to be around each other. If we can't come together and work together as a nation of people, then how do we expect anybody to want to join in with us and help us fight and overcome the struggles that we face each and every day? We have gotten so bad with each other that we call each other, you know, our young children, calling each other the ops, the opposition. Our young children are looking at each other as the opposition, and they're murdering each other over the opposition as an op. Now, how does this tie into the jail? Because too many fathers are being incarcerated for long periods of time, which is by the time they come home, many of them don't even get the opportunity to integrate back in society. They're just thrown out the gate. Now they're in something called arrest of development, where their mindset is stuck from the last time they was out here in the so-called, what we as Muslims call it, the dunya. We call it, you know, the world. Now they come out, whatever they were doing prior to going to prison, it's like a 85 to 90% chance that they, if they don't get the chance to integrate back in society properly, they're going to go back to doing exactly what they were doing prior to them going in, with a few exceptions, as we all know. This is causing more hardship than benefit. Because now you have young brothers growing up with hatred towards their fathers. Hatred. I mean, pure hatred, because they've gone through things and they had no father there to help them go through these tough times. Now, what do you think going to happen? You already have hatred towards your father. So automatically, subconsciously, you have built up a hatred for other males. You know? So with that being said, it's something that only we can fix. Only we have the ability to do what needs to be done for us. All right? So what I'm going to do now, being that no one chimed in, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and continue right where we left off. All right?
Darkness no longer, a child is born. Mother shed tears of joy as baby cuts his lungs. But daddy's not there where he ought to be. Somewhere in Georgia, skinning and shooting taps on his knee. Another victim born out here in the hood. And based on statistics, it really ain't all good. Welfare takes the pain, and daddy can't find, and it can't be seen, the family becomes a crime. The sun is on, and brother, you're the prey, serving time in jail, it just ain't the way. I'm living so hard, babe, that my hair's gray. You got to make a change, it's a brand new day.
A brand new day.
It's a new day.
A day just fine for the human race.
It's
a new
day.
Day. Oh, no. A brand new day.
It's a new day
just fine for the human race.
Operation in place, and it's on the way. We just marched a million plus the other day. Look, look, we all witness the sweat rolling down Miss Liberty's hill. She knows the sleeping giant no longer sleeping dead. Oh, what a fulfillment of prophecy. Let us teach the children freedom's never been free. To say Peter cried, go ahead and cry. Jesus wept. And hope and faith is here. It's a new day.
A brand new day.
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 It's a new
day. A change of mind for the human race.
The guy has been killed, and there's no need to fear. Cause people, the answer to your prayers are here. Sister Mary, don't you weep. Tell mother not to moan. We need the love, and daddy's coming home. There's no need to worry. The time to take a plan. Mother Earth has given birth to a brand new man. Sister, I know you're not ready still, but hold on to your man, cause the future looks good. It's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a new day.
A change of mind for the human race.
A new
world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
Beware of the lies and false prophecy. We are men with eyes, but don't all really see. You must be merciful to sin to obtain the strength. For if you break the chain, don't pass the blame. We should say unto all, and I'll say it again, it's not just to win. Shake a hand, make a friend. We who are pure at heart somehow might see there's still light in the world. Come rejoice with me. It's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new world order, a brand new day. A change of mind for the human race.
It's a new day. It's a new day.
Welcome back, family. Let's give it to the producer. That was the perfect song for what where we at right now. You know, a new world order. The new world order is basically what we're striving to do here. And in order to get to new world order, then we have to change our mindset. Once we can change our mindset and change how we view ourselves, then and only then will we be able to change how we are viewed by others. As long as we keep falling and jumping inside the trick bag and playing crab in the barrel act, we're going to stay exactly where we at. It's up to us, people. It's up to us. Yeah, as I said earlier, we went through a lot of situations. We have a lot of obstacles. But what we have in our favor is that we are the original human beings, the first created. So we have the knowledge. Many of us are lacking the wisdom. And those of us who have wisdom, we may not have the knowledge of how to put it together. We need each other. And we got to understand that separatism is a part of the system. As long as we move in that separatism, that separation, that, oh, I'm not messing with him or I'm not messing with her because this, that, and the other, we as a people going to remain in the positions that we're in now. as I was saying earlier, many of you, I'm from Patterson. So any of you from Patterson and, you know, or inner cities, period. How and who is receiving, how is the first thing is like, how are we continuing to be so blind that we don't see what's happening right in front of us? When we've been in neighborhoods, many of us, the majority of our lives, and we see these neighborhoods changing. And not to say that they're not changing for the better, some of them, but the better for who? Are they changing for the better for us? Are we getting in on that change? Are we handing our money to people that look like us and helping build our family? Or are we handing money to other people that don't look like us and we're helping them build their families? And if you're the one receiving the money, that's all well and good because you're the one receiving the money and your family is going to be taken care of. And ultimately, your people are going to be taken care of. And we, and the Bible speaks about tribe. So we're a tribe. As black people, we're a tribe. So let's do what is necessary for us to do to get to where we need to be. Difficult, let's go with the old saying, when you use the five fingers and you smack a person. Okay, it stings. You know, it stings. Smack a person, it stings. Got the five fingers open. But when you close that hand up and bring those fingers together and ball it up and make it tight and you punch a person, it's a whole different effect. So let's start punching our way to a better and a brighter future. Let's start doing that. We, you know, and any, okay, here we go. You're on Let's Talk About It All. It's Let's Talk About It All. You live.
Good evening. How you doing?
Good evening, Sister Lisa. How are you?
Oh, I'm better. I'm better. I was a little down for a couple of days, but I'm better. You got a nice topic tonight. Okay. I just wanted to say that that was good what you was talking about. I just want to add on a little bit my opinion. Knowledge is power. We as a people got to start taking in that, become, you know, to get the wisdom. Like you said, we're one of the people from many moons ago, and we wouldn't have ever got to where we're at now if it wasn't for the knowledge and the wisdom that we got from our forefathers. We got to get together and start reading, educating ourselves, you know, talking to people that been in weird places, seen things, know things, to educate our mind. You know, we only use a little portion of our mind because we let other people like TV, stars, tell us what we need to hear and what we're going to think about. We got to start using our own mind to obtain the things that we want and we need as a people. I don't want to take from no one, but everyone should really look at the movie called Alice. I've seen it over the weekend, and let me tell you, it's very powerful. You know, it's about slavery, but it shows how we as a people only listen to what people tell us, and we believe it. And you could be in a situation because a person told you about it, and you never know. You know how they always say, the grass is greener on the other side, or, you know, you want something from the other side instead of having what you have here. We really got to start taking that as being a serious thing in life, because I want to take a little bit and say, I mean, about the movie. These slaves were free. They didn't even realize they were free. They lived on a plantation. They got beat. They just treated terrible. And all along, they were living in 1973 and didn't even know it. And at the end, the master had enough to tell the one slave that you never asked to leave, and I never held you here. And that's what we got to keep in our mind. Don't let anyone tell you something and you don't do research on it, to keep yourself intellectually moving forward on things that is out there. The one person in the movie kept saying to the girl, "Do you hear that? Do you hear that?" And the girl kept saying, "What do you hear?" She said, "The world." And that's what we got to take in. What we see, like, you know, we talk about Patterson, what it has became. What we see is only a little bit. It's a whole world out there, you know, waiting for us. Yes, Patterson has turned into a whole different type of, thing going on. But we got to always remember that we can move in one other town over and be surprised how everybody's living. Stop sitting where you at and watching the things that go on and make you think that this is all there is in life. It's more than life. Like I said, knowledge is power. You can't be powerful just by having money in your pocket. You got to know knowledge and you got to have wisdom to be able to know that if something comes towards you, you could think on it and you could make a decision what you want to do with that.
Absolutely, sister. Absolutely. To piggyback on, you know, what you were saying about, I've seen the movie. I'm familiarized with the movie. But to piggyback on what you were saying about what's happening around in Patterson, it's as though we are the spectators. It's like watching a football game and we rooting everybody else on, instead of us getting in the game and putting our strategy together to win, to become one of the teams and play against the rest of the players, go up against the rest of the players. You know, we just rather spend our money sitting in the stands and eat snacks. You know, that's what seems to be happening with us. And it's no longer time for that. It's time for us to put them snacks away, put our money together, put together a strategy, and get out there on the field and say, look, we ready to challenge any team that come up against us. You know, because we have the ability, and as you were saying, that we have brought into so much propaganda till we accept what we've been told. We accept, we look at each other and look at ourselves the way the slave master used to look at us. We're looking at ourselves that way. We're treating ourselves that way. We have become automatic, you know, as you were saying in the movie, we like automatic slaves. Like we making ourselves slaves to life. Because we refuse to do certain things. Like, by the time your child go to school, your child should already have knowledge of who they are. You should already be taught them who made the traffic light, you know, who did the first open heart surgery. All of these things they should be aware of when they go to school. So by the time they go to school, they're not overtaken and diminished by what they're being taught. They're not being taught that they were anything other than a slave. That's it. They're not being taught that they have people who contributed meaningful things to American society. So when we look at our children going astray and doing the things that they're doing, and we blame them, and a lot of them don't know no better. But for those of us who have the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding, it's our duty to teach the children, to teach those who we call the blind, who are blind to the way life really is, who are dumb to circumstances, and who are deaf to the truth. You know, we have to enlighten those people. We have to give these people the clear picture, because many of us don't know. We've been indoctrinated so long till we believe this is it. This is all we can be. We can't be no more than what we are. Let's talk about it all. You live.
What's up, my brother Shadi? How you doing? Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, my brother?
This is Miles. How you feeling?
I'm good, brother Miles. How are you?
I'm doing good. I wanted to speak on something you said about the brothers. Like last week, we talked about the brothers in prison. I'm glad. I'm glad what they're doing, trying to get these brothers to get their head together. But then you got some of the brothers who come and go in them prison and be in them gangs, and when they get out, they taught to maintain that mentality instead of changing. And you know, when guys come out of prison, the first thing we look at, like, oh, he's a convict, man. He's a criminal. And, you know, they don't give him a chance to get himself together, because the first thing they do, they put him down. And like you said, when the brother last week, when he was talking about how these athletes be on TV, you know, showing us the Nikes to wear, this, that, and that, and that, and brothers think that this is the lifestyle, the Nikes, the best outfits, the bling bling, and that's all they know when they hit the street. That's what they're thinking. And then when we try to get them out of that, the first thing they be like, yo, man, I could make more money doing this than I could do with a regular job. Or I could do this better than that brother over here could do that. This is, you know, like some of them come out of prison, even the county jail, come back on that corner, they want their corner back. So they start what? Taking each other out to get that block back. And that's a hard thing for us to try to get them to stop doing, because, like you said, we see what's going on, but we won't open our mouths. You know, like you said, the football game, we sit back and watch who do what and do what and what. We're going to bet on this and bet on that. Like here in Patterson, all these shootings, we got all these shootings in Patterson. Everybody said this and that and that, but nobody want to go out there and say, look, I saw this, I saw that officer, or this and I did that. How are we going to stop it if we can't get people to go out there and say what they saw? And it's getting crazy. And then when you come back, now the thing you said about the drugs. Now, when crack was out, it wasn't all over the TV. Now, like, it was in the neighborhood. But when they start talking about opioids, the only reason they talk about that because it started hitting white kids. When the white kids start getting into them drugs and deep into it, all of a sudden, it's a big thing in the Senate. We got to put a stop to it. We got to do this. But where was that at when we was getting them eight balls, right, and the crack epidemic and all that? We didn't hear all that in the White House, in the Senate. But soon the white kids start getting drugged up, spaced out like that, all of a sudden, it's a big issue now. Let's save them. Rehab centers. Yeah, well, we didn't have much in the rehab centers in the poor neighborhood.
Yeah,
and now
absolutely.
Now all of a sudden
they actually started dying. See,
yeah.
They started overdosing. So,
exactly.
So of course, they're gonna make moves to change their situation. And
exactly.
At the same time, we have to make moves. If you were listening when I said early that many times when brothers go in to prison
right.
and do five or more years, they come out with, as I said, arrest their development. They come out where they left off. If they're not able to integrate back into society properly.
Exactly, exactly.
The other thing I said is we criminalize each other even more so than the police, you know,
true.
Because many of us, like, we don't know the circumstances of these individuals. So we can use what Solution said to these brothers. He say, do 60 hours. We can come up to him and say, look, man, you out here selling drugs. Won't you at least get you a part-time job so you can get used to working?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And if you need help, if you need some help, then I'm here to help you. Because I did a survey some years ago when, you know, and this was around my area. And I brought out a book and gave it to individuals. And the majority of the individuals weren't able to read the book. So
exactly.
here we, you know, riding these brothers for joining gangs and you know, selling drugs, but they don't have the proper tools to fight to participate at the same level as other individuals. And a lot of that is by design. So we have to be more mindful and make sure that we equip our children with the proper tools so that they can be competitive.
Now, by you saying that, most of these brothers down here calling these drug dealers don't even get it in their mindset that, like, oh, I ain't working at no McDonald's for this and that, right? But when you go to prison, you working for less than that, homie. When you in prison, you ain't making no money. You working for that white man. That man opened them prisons up for a reason, because that, to them, prison is their slave trade for them. We need to fill these prisons up. Go get every blood you can get out there, put them in here, and what they do, they go in there, they got y'all cleaning this, washing that, making this, all for what? Slave money. But when you come out in these streets, when somebody try to get you to do a job, like you said, you know, a part-time job, get you to understand the value of a dollar, work, try to get your head straight, think about, look, hey, I'd rather do this than be on the corner being chased down, beat up and all that. But yet, I try to tell them, I said, look, man, you up here talking about you ain't going to work at McDonald's or this store, that store. That. But when you go to prison, what you think you're doing in there? You ain't making that kind of money in there as you did out here. You up there doing slave work for them people and fighting for your life in there.
Well,
how you doing, Miles?
Hey, lady, how you doing? Nice
right.
show, lad.
I
like the show you did last. Good work. Keep it up.
Thank you. I think, too, also, Shadi, you might agree with me that we got to stop being enablers. When people do get locked up, what happens? The people on the outside putting money in their account, letting
mm-hmm.
them call, run up their phone, going to visit them, you know what I mean, encouraging them to still think it's okay to get everything handed out to you instead of being in there thinking about why I'm in here, what I need to do when I get out from here, what plans do I got set, instead of thinking about and telling people, oh, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to do this. And as soon as they hit the street, like you said, no game plan, because they've been everything's been handed to them. So when they get out, they want to get with a girl, get with a guy, get with their family, think they're supposed to give a handout, instead of saying, you know what, when this happens, as soon as I get out, okay, I'll be with my friends for a day or whatever. I'm going looking for a job. I'm going to look for a place to stay. set your pattern the way you pose. So just like I lost my job, the job closed up. So I had some money. But as soon as my money got low, the first thing I said, nah, I got to get a job. And like you said, Miles, I went and I got a job making less than what I was getting at the other job. But you know what? It was a job. It paid my bills.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I didn't sit and say, well, I'm going to collect unemployment as long as I could, or I'm going to go get assistance. No, I went and got a job, and I worked every day. And what money I made, I did what I needed to do with it. We got to stop thinking about titles. Titles don't mean a thing. You
exactly.
could be the biggest in your company, but if you ain't doing right by your money, what's the use of it? You know, and I hate to say this, but now it's income tax time. Everybody going crazy about they're going to get an income tax check, right? But
yeah.
what are you going to do with it? Are you going to put it away, or are you going to use it to the best of something, like an idea that you've been had, or you're going to do the same thing you've been doing with it since you got it 10,000 years ago? That's why. But that's why.
No, I was about to say. Now,
no.
They are better because. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Sade, and another thing that bothers me, too.
Let me say something. The thing is that we, you know, have to really start looking into is my purpose for saying who we are giving our money to.
Right.
It's not us. Is that people are creating jobs. We are going looking for jobs. We're not trying to create jobs. I guarantee you it'll be somewhat easier for some of those brothers. I'm not going to say all because some people just not going to do right. We have to accept that.
But right.
Some brothers, if they could come home and get a job with somebody they know, a legal job, they
right.
do it. So we have to start saying, what are we going to do to make our situation better for ourselves? Like, it's a brother that got a restaurant that's on 17th Ave. He needs somebody to run it, you know?
Yep.
I mean, so we have to start helping each other, reaching out to each other, and know that, look, let's start. It's okay to get a job. I'm not opposed to getting a job. But the ultimate goal, we got to start creating some jobs, too. Because we're in a society that we supposedly have been here for 400 or more years, and people have come here in less than 100 years, and they own franchises. So what are we doing that's causing us not to be able to own franchises? What are we doing not to be able? And some of us not even thinking about, okay, we're capable of doing that. We're
right.
capable of more than what we aspire to. We aspire, like my whole purpose when I was younger for selling drugs was at the time, I wasn't able to get a job. I was young. I started off probably like 11, 12. I couldn't work. I wanted to work. Couldn't get a job. I was too young. So I wanted things. I started selling drugs. So my whole purpose was to create a job for myself. However, many young brothers don't understand that that's a stepping stone. That's not a career. Don't get it twisted that other nationalities haven't messed with drugs. That we're
right.
the only nationality that mess with drugs. No, we're not. Many nationalities that mess with drugs and turned it into legit businesses. We come down, oh, you're going to go to jail, or you need to go to jail. And look, you're doing something that could get you locked up. But you got to think farther than what you're doing. You can't just think this is where you're going to be. You got to aspire to more than this. This is the thing. You know, we had, like I said, we have been manipulated so long to we don't even know some of the stuff that we're doing, some of the way we think has been taught to us. We got to remember, who taught us? What schools did we go to? Who were the heads of those schools? These people taught us to be a certain way, to aspire to certain things, not to excel their children. They don't want us to excel their children. They don't want their children to be coming to us for jobs. They want our children to come to them for jobs this way. They still got the power. They still got the power to say whether I'm going to hire you or not. So we have the capability. Right now we have the knowledge. We have people with the wherewithal that we can do it, but we just need more people. We don't need everybody. Don't get it twisted. We don't need everybody. We just need enough people who are ready. That's it.
When the white people saw the capability of black people, it scared the hell out of them. Because they know.
Let's scare them again.
They know that they. Yeah, that's what they're afraid of. That's why I stop acting crazy now, man. Because you get. Just today, I was watching on the news this guy in New Orleans. The cop shot this guy, unarmed man. Right? Shot him. He was chasing him. He just shot him. And the guy stopped, put his hand up, turned around, the cop shot him. Then they said, ooh, the cop looked like he human. Then you go to court, they gave him a $25,000 bail. And I'm saying to myself, when the hell can a black man get a bail like that for shooting somebody in this country? How the laws are different for different, like you said, like black people, we got different laws for them compared to whites. Like the boy in Chicago who got shoplifted for a book bag. That boy sat in there for like 3 years before he even seen a judge in jail. White kid had, what, an ounce of cocaine. They gave him a slap on the wrist, put him in a rehab center. What kind of stuff is that? And when you see, when we as black kids see stuff like that, most of them just give up. Say, see, they don't care. This and that. But see, when you start thinking that way, that's what they want you to think that way. When you start putting your mind, say, well, they don't care about us and that, you should, if they don't care about you, care about yourself. I don't care, white guy don't care about me, but I care about myself. What I'm going to do with my life, what I'm going to do with myself. You know, that's what we should be thinking about. Don't worry about what that white man thinking, because the white man definitely ain't going to want you to be up there where he at. So you got to think about what you're going to do for yourself, your life, the rest of your life. When most of these guys come out of jail, they see their kids. Oh, I got to do this for my son. Oh, I love you. And even when in jail, when I get out, I'm going to be a father to my kids. As soon as you get out here, you do something stupid. Don't be looking at me. I tell them, don't be looking at me. If you my father, don't look me in the face and say, son, when I get out, I'm going to do this and do that. And then you get out here and you don't. Because you're going to make me don't believe a damn thing come out of your mouth. And that's another problem I have. If I can't trust my father, who else am I going to do it? Then I'm going to go trust some stranger? Next thing you know, I'm in a gang. My father didn't care. Maybe the gangbanger care. You know, kids think like that. You got like you said, when they get young, 13, 14, they get in there, and their father ain't around, these brothers come out there and pepper them up, nice them up, and next thing you know, they're packing guns.
Yeah, and see, I'm an optimist. The gangs is, when you look at the definition of a gang, is 2 to 3 people doing something illegal. So anybody could be considered a gang. 3 people, 2 people can do something that they say illegal, you can be considered a gang. However, this is what I'm saying. We've already threw them away because we've already said you're a gang member. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, that we have a certain disdain for them. You already said that the white people don't care about them. So if the white people don't care about them, we don't care about them, who going to care about them?
Exactly.
So we know the situations. We know the reasons why some of them doing what they're doing. Some of them come from decent homes and just get misled. Some of them didn't have a great opportunity. So we still have to strive to be sensitive to each other's needs. We don't have the luxury to turn our backs on our future. They are future. So we turning our back on our future and hoping our future going to get better? That's not going to happen. We have to start figuring out ways to change the dynamics of what's happening. We already know how and why. We know how it's happening. We know that, okay, through the school system, they prepping them for prison. We know that. We know this is what's happening. They're not being properly educated. They're being miseducated.
Mm-hmm.
And many times they don't even want you to come to the school to see what they're teaching your children. And that's what all parents should be doing. They should be going to them schools and seeing what their children are being taught. Then you're not being taught that you're a competitor. You're being taught that you're a consumer. That's what you're being taught. And that's what you're doing once you get out of school. Or you become a commodity and you're going to prison back and forth, residual back and forth. And now the children are being left fatherless with no structure. Now they got to learn structure from the prison or from some other entity. And it's not unnatural to want to be together with other people. That's natural. The only entity that's alone is Allah. Allah is the only one alone that don't need anyone. If we were made to be alone, then it would have just been Adam and no Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So we're made to be together. We just have to change our thought pattern about looking at the brothers who doing things that we and society deem illegal and stop treating them, you know, they're still, get to know them. Hey, how you doing? Because I've got to know some of them individuals that were gang involved, drug dealers. They're good. A lot of them are good young people. They just misled. And if nobody going to try to lead them back to the straight path, we already know what's going to happen to them. We already know that prison go get them and start making money off them, and then this thing just going to be a continuous cycle. We have the ability. We just going to have to change how we do things. With that being said, it's the end of the night. We're going to close it there. I'd like to thank you, Miles, you, Lisa, for your comments. I'd like to thank everybody. You know, all your listeners, all the listeners. And I pray that all of you who are listening, that our hearts and minds grow closer to each other and towards our family members so that we would be able to move beyond our differences and focus on learning to love, forgive, and work together towards building a better world for us all. With that being said, I would like to thank you all for taking the time out of your day to spend these precious moments with us. Anything that I said that was insightful and helpful came from Allah. Anything that I said that was unclear and confusing came from me, and I ask your forgiveness. God bless you. Good night, and I love you all.
See you next Wednesday.
All right, my brother.
Dade.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to be on Sunday?
Yes, sir. What time on Sunday?
6 o'clock. Boy from the prison guy. What?
Oh, yeah. I'll be out.
Time coming, but I know.
Have a blessed day, my brother.
Change gonna come.
All right, you too, my brother.
Oh, yes, it will.
Got to listen to my song now.
It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there,
beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movies and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.